The woman was saying,
"The master of Jordan College is a foolish old man. Why he gave it to her, I can't imagine. You need several years of intensive study to make any sense of it at all. And now you owe me some information, Carlo. How did you find it, and where is the child?"
"I saw her using it in a museum in the city. I recognised her, of course, having seen her at your cocktail party all that time ago. And I realised she must have found a doorway. And then I realised that I could use it for a purpose of my own. So, when I came across her a second time, I stole it."
"You're very frank."
"No need to be coy, we're both grown up."
"And where is she now? What did she do when she found it was missing?"
"She came to see me, which must have taken some nerve, I imagine."
"She doesn't lack nerve. And what are you going to do with it? What is this purpose of yours?"
"I told her that she could have it back, provided she got something for me. Something I couldn't get myself."
"And what is that?"
"I don't know whether you..."
And that was the moment when the first stone smashed into the study window. It broke with a satisfying crash of glass, and instantly the monkey shadow leapt from the chair back as the adults gasped. There came another crash, and another, and Will felt the sofa move as Sir Charles got up. Will leaned forward and snatched the alethiometer from the little table, thrust it into his pocket, and darted back through the window. As soon as he was on the grass in Chittagatse, he felt in the air for those elusive edges, calming his mind, breathing slowly, conscious all the time that only feet away there was horrible danger. Then came a screech, not human, not animal, but worse than either, and he knew it was that loathsome monkey. By that time he'd got most of the window closed, but there was still a small gap at the level of his chest. And then he leapt back, because into that gap there came a small, furry, golden hand with black fingernails, and then a face, a nightmare face. The golden monkey's teeth were bared, his eyes glaring, and such a concentrated malevolence blazed from him that Will felt it almost like a spear. Another second and he would have been through, and that would have been the end. But Will was still holding the knife, and he brought it up at once and slashed left, right, across the monkey's face, or where the face would have been if the monkey hadn't withdrawn just in time. That gave Will the moment he needed to seize the edges of the window and press them shut. His own world had vanished, and he was alone in the moonlit parkland in Chittagatse, panting and trembling and horribly frightened. But now there was Lyra to rescue. He ran back to the first window, the one he'd opened into the shrubbery, and looked through. The dark leaves of laurels and holly obscured the view, but he reached through and thrust them aside to see the side of the house clearly, with a broken study window sharp in the moonlight. As he watched, he saw the monkey leaping around the corner of the house, scampering over the grass with the speed of a cat, and then he saw Sir Charles and the woman following close behind. Sir Charles was carrying a pistol. The woman herself was beautiful. Will saw that with shock. Lovely in the moonlight, her brilliant dark eyes wide with enchantment, her slender shape light and graceful. But as she snapped her fingers, the monkey stopped at once and leapt up into her arms, and he saw that the sweet-faced woman and the evil monkey were one being. But where was Lyra? The adults were looking around, and then the woman put the monkey down, and it began to cast this way and that on the grass, as if it were scenting or looking for footprints. There was silence from all around. If Lyra was in the shrubbery already, she wouldn't be able to move without making a noise which would give her away at once. Sir Charles adjusted something on his pistol with a soft click, the safety catch. He peered into the shrubbery, seeming to look directly at Will, and then his eyes travelled on past. Then both of the adults looked to their left, for the monkey had heard something. And in a flash it leapt forward to where Lyra must be, and a moment later it would have found her. And at that moment the tabby cat sprang out of the shrubbery and onto the grass, and hissed. The monkey heard and twisted in mid-air as if with astonishment, though he was hardly as astonished as Will himself. The monkey fell on his paws, facing the cat, and the cat arched her back, tail raised high, and stood sideways on, hissing, challenging, spitting. And the monkey leapt for her. The cat reared up, slashing with needle paws left and right, too quickly to be seen, and then Lyra was beside Will, tumbling through the window with Pantalaimon beside her. And the cat screamed, and the monkey screamed too, as the cat's claws raked his face. And then the monkey turned and leapt into Mrs. Coulter's arms, and the cat shot away into the bushes of her own world and vanished. And Will and Lyra were through the window, and Will felt once again for the almost intangible edges in the air and pressed them swiftly together, closing the window all along its length, as through the diminishing gap came the sound of feet among twigs and cracking branches. And then there was only a hole the size of Will's hand, and then it was shut, and the whole world was silent. He fell to his knees on the dewy grass, and fumbled for the alethiometer.
Here.
She took it, With shaking hands, he slid the knife back into its sheath. Then he lay down, trembling in all his limbs, and closed his eyes, and felt the moonlight bathing him with silver, and felt Lyra undoing his bandage and tying it up again with delicate, gentle movements.
Oh, Will, thank you for what you've done, for all of it.
I hope the cat's all right. She's like my Moxie. She's probably gone home now, in her own world again. She'll be all right now.
You know what I thought? I thought for a second she was your demon. She'd done what a good demon would have done anyway. We rescued her and she rescued us. Come on, Will, don't lie on the grass, it's wet. You've got to come and lie down in a proper bed, else you'll catch cold. We'll go in that big house over there. There's bound to be beds and food and stuff. Come on, I'll make a new bandage. I'll put some coffee on to cook. I'll make some omelette, whatever you want, and we'll sleep. We'll be safe now we've got the alethiometer back. You'll see. I'll do nothing now except help you find your father. I promise.
She helped him up, and they walked slowly through the garden towards the great white gleaming house under the moon.